This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz. This program is sponsored by New Zealand Bridge, sponsors of Grassroots Bridge across the nation.
Welcome to the Bridge Zone. You're at the table with Barry and Mariana. How many more sleeps, Barry? I've got four more sleeps before I end up in Dunedin and play in the South Island Pier. I've got a lovely email today to say that my entry fee has been received and I am now marked as paid.
And if you think she came up with that number easily, guys, she did not. She had to count on her fingers to get to four.
Almost as good as your list of things to take to a tournament. And then another five more sleeps until the NZB Youth Weekend. It's all happening.
Well, hopefully all those youth players are looking forward to it.
And you know, all he wants to talk to me about, listeners, all he wants to talk to me is about a cat.
Is Alex a youth player or not?
She is, and she is going to be there in Christchurch.
So, yeah, I was playing against Alex Meyer on Thursday night. One of the benefits of online bridge, and I know I keep harping on about it, is you get to see people's pets online sometime. And Shadow the cat came on. And Shadow is a very good-looking cat. Shadow is a girl, and I understand that she sent you a photo of a Shadow. Are we able to share that somehow?
I will put it up on the blurb with NZB.
The Shadow is going to be world famous in New Zealand. Did you hear I moved to Howick?
What's up with that?
In Auckland Interclub on Friday night, which is played online, I got a late call-up. Howick were short of a few players, so Douglas Russell, who was also not from Howick, and I ended up playing for Howick against your friend John Craig.
Who was he playing with? Mary?
He was playing with Jacinda. So it was a lot of fun. We played a couple of 14-board matches. We played 14 boards against John and Jacinda and 14 boards against their other pair.
So who was in your team?
We had Cheryl Windsor and Joey Chang. So Howick moved up 7th out of 8 to 5th out of 8. They're on the charge.
Ifayakine. Coming up next, it's time for the Gin Club. That's juniors, intermediates and novice. And our man on the spot, Mr. Gin himself, it's Ross Longney.
Hey, Mr. Gin, I can see the shape you're in. Finger on your eyebrow.
Hey, it's Mr. Gin. How are you this morning?
I'm very, very well. Beautiful, beautiful winter's morning. Last of the winter mornings, I suppose. Morning, Barry. How are you?
Good morning, Ross. We're just talking off air that I think Ross needs to get a job. He could work out 8-hour days. That would be good for him.
That would finish me off, I think, Barry, at my age. Hey, my gosh, there was a lot of tournaments around over the weekend, and there's heaps on next weekend as well. So I don't know whether this is boring everybody, but I really love to mention these successes of our Gin Club members. So here we go. Havelock North, Raywin Davidson from Taradale and Katie Cassidy won that one. Averaged 63.23%. Oh. Wonderful. Now, Mount Albert Junior Tournament, that was the third round of the Auckland Gin Club circuit. Aha. But a change of result. We had a win by Rika and Panjit from Remuera ahead of Alistair Bury and Alex Lewin. A great turn up there from those two Mr. and Mrs. from Remuera. The ITL Invercargill Junior, won by Stephanie McIntyre and Diana Davis. They were both from Gore, and the intermediate tournament, which they held in conjunction, was also won by a Gore pair. We'll mention those in a minute. Now, the Juno Gin, New Plymouth Intermediate. What a great sponsor they have, Juno Gin. Fantastic. That was won by Pam Hawkins and Joe Bertram, both from New Plymouth. Otaki Junior was won by Mark and Chris Colson, both from Picton. Well done, Mark and Chris. And the New World Paihia Junior, Roman Galvin from Kerikeri and Jan McLeod from Paihia. They averaged over 61% on the day. And the intermediate, another great sponsor, Caller Geek, Nelson Intermediate. 14 tables there. Tony Adamson from Richmond and Terry Zindel from Nelson won that. And then we come up the country to Havelock North Intermediate. Marit Van Rangelrooy from Hastings and Robin Anderson. the ALT Invercargill, Sue McGowan and Henny Pay from Gore, and the Juno Gin New Plymouth Intermediate, 12 tables, Brenda Simpson from Hawera, Diane White from New Plymouth. They had a 48% in the morning, but they smashed the 66% out in the afternoon to take that. And then Otaki Intermediate, also nearly 14 tables, Cindy Lowndes from Fielding and Alistair James from Palmerston North.
Whoop, whoop. Jack Master James Lord. Is dead.
Is that Jack's dad?
That is Alistair. And Alistair and Cindy have been a partnership for a number of years.
Excellent. Well, that's a good result. Giving a few B points into the James family anyway. That's good. Now, where we were, the New World Paihia Intermediate. That was won by Eva McKinnon and Vanessa Goldrick, both from Whangarei. They were unbeatable after having smashed out a 70.14% in the morning.
Do you snuck into second though, Ross?
We managed to come back and come second, and we were jolly pleased with that. It was a really nice tournament. My gosh, I've never been to a tournament where you had such a beautiful view. It was an interesting tournament. They had six junior tables, seven intermediate tables, and seven open tables, all booked out, full room, and a really nice feel about it. And other clubs, Kerikeri, I think, is going to run the same format in a few weeks' time because it just sort of worked for them up there. I thought quite a creative setup for a tournament. The main thing in a tournament, I think, is to have a full room, okay? Yeah. Whether you've got mixture of novice, junior, intermediate, open, doesn't matter. If it's full, it feels good. Don't you agree?
It does. It's always better to have a full room than an empty room.
So they had this view. They were up a level right on the waterfront at Paihia. And it was just a beautiful morning. No cloud in the sky, no wind, and the sun was just sparkling off the harbour. It was hard to concentrate on the bridge, I'll say that. I'd say that's for sure. Heather Spooner ran those three separate sessions. The Opens were playing three boards a table. The rest of us were playing two boards a table. Ran it without a hitch. It was great. Now, you laugh at me and partner for traveling so far, but it wasn't us that had traveled the furthest.
Okay. Okay.
There was a pair of sisters that had come, one from Queenstown and one from Nelson.
Oh, wow.
To play in that tournament. Okay.
They weren't even from the same island.
They weren't. They had holidayed there for 50-odd years, so they'd come back, a bit like a Thelma and Louise visit, if you like, and they cleaned up with a second in the afternoon, and then they told me that their third sister was actually playing in the junior division and that their mother played bridge until she was in her 90s.
Fantastic.
I thought that was nice. I did write their names down, and now I can't.
Well, hang on, I can fill in some time while you're waiting. 148's a good number, Mariana.
What's that for?
That's how many B points Mr. Longley's on. He's only 61 short of the record. Now, he hasn't owned up that he's going for this record, but he's only 61 short. He's got 4 months to do it in.
There you
That's
go.
That's James's record that he set last year at 209.
Oh, I don't think so, Barry.
Come on, Mr.
Look, he's 61. He's not owning up, Mariana, but we all know it. He's 61 away.
Actually, it was quite a good result in the weekend. It was like only 100K per B point. So it was better than when we went to the hut, Barry.
It was. Yeah, you were down to the very small decimals per K of that.
The Paihia Club is a thriving club. Many of our listeners will know Jane Stearns, and she moved up there a few years ago. And when she moved up, they had less than 30 members, and now they've got over 80 members in the club. And she's got lessons going during the day and at night, which some clubs don't do. She said that it's been fantastic, and the growth over the last 4 years has been wonderful. You've got an enthusiastic bunch of juniors, and a group of them have actually registered for Congress, and they're off down there. Whether they're going to do well or not, they don't care. They just really love their bridge, and they're away. They've packed their bags virtually. I'm not sure whether she's going to Congress. Luca Harness, she's off to the youth weekend. This is a heads up for other clubs. All her expenses, other than what New Zealand Bridge are paying, are being funded by her club.
What club is that, Ross?
Paihia.
Paihia. Great effort. Go
Did
Paihia.
Did you get to meet Luca?
Luca wasn't actually playing.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, she's 21 or so, maybe 22 now. She was the drive behind the club's float last year that they put into the town Christmas parade. And blow me, they won first overall prize for their
Oh, really?
So she's a wonderful club member.
Yes, I'm looking forward to meeting Luca next weekend.
Just another little side. Remember I mentioned Tamati Greig?
Yep.
I actually was looking for him, and I see he hasn't played very much lately. One of the intermediate winners, along with Vanessa Yvonne, is Tamati's grandmother. And so I asked her, you know, what's he up to? He's now living in Australia, northern Queensland, I think, landscape gardening, but still playing quite a bit of bridge online.
That's good.
He has a partner, Eugene, from the USA, I think, that he plays with. Now, here's a story. This will intrigue one or two of our members. He was playing with Marcus a couple of weeks ago, Dudley, a couple of weeks ago online. I think it was Levin. And his grandmother told me that actually while he was playing that, he was also playing another session on another device with another partner, with Eugene. So he's playing with Marcus and Eugene simultaneously. He got first in one session and second in the other. It is a challenge for some of our more dexterous players, if you like. Two sessions playing simultaneously. Another interesting little quirk that they have up there in Paihia, and that you'll love this, Barry. This one's for you. They open the bar 3 rounds from the end of the play, and you can have your last two tables with a glass of rum and coke or a glass of wine.
Great idea, but for God's sake, don't tell Mariana about that. She'll be off up there in a flash.
And many took advantage of it too. It was quite funny.
I just want to mention one of your gin club members, one of your more famous gin club members, and he was born and bred in Taranaki. So Craig Barrett, I've mentioned him before. You know, he walked at the Olympic Games. I think he got a silver medal at the Commonwealth Games. He showed up in New Plymouth over the weekend and played in the Open.
I'm sure he acquitted himself well, being a great gin club member. Okay, now, next weekend, or this weekend coming up, there's a lot on. Interestingly, intermediates, Ashburton is fully booked out with 16 tables, and so is their junior tournament. Remuera has their intermediate tournament on, and if you recall, that's the third leg of the circuit, but only 8 tables. Alongside an Open tournament, which has currently got 7 tables, so 15 tables in that big club, is not a full room that we were talking about in Paihia. I can't explain it. It's nothing to do with the difference between $45 and $35. It's just the nature of the game, I guess.
Where are you headed on the weekend?
To Auckland.
Of course you are.
Not so far. I couldn't go to Hutt, I couldn't go to Tauranga, and I couldn't go to Whanganui, all of which has intermediate tournaments. Whanganui is on Sunday, though, so I was tempted, because that's a Swiss. That would be quite fun. Junior tournaments, I mentioned Ashburton, also Kaikoura and Tauranga. Tauranga also has a novice tournament on, which I think is most commendable.
The Swiss Pairs, Ross. I was talking to Mariana about New Plymouth. They held an ordinary pairs event on Saturday, got 9 tables. They held a Swiss Pairs on the Sunday and got 21 tables. That just shows you how popular the Swiss Pairs are.
I noticed that, yeah. That intermediate Swiss Pairs in Whanganui, which is pretty close to Wellington and Palmerston and New Plymouth, I think they'll get a good turnout for that. I would love to be able to go. You want to pay the airfare, Barry?
Well, they've got a plane that goes from Warkworth to Whanganui? I don't know.
Oh, we'll hire executive jet, eh?
Charter a jet, of course. Yeah. Money's no object to...
Not the Brit Zone. You're well-funded.
Hey, it's already spent. The minute we open our mouth, our budget is over.
That's the wrap for this week.
Catch up with us next week. The Gin Man leads you out with the Gin Club motto.
Observa omne, neminem time. Respect all, fear none. Have a good week. Light it and
send it out. Send it out now. What's that? What are you holding up there? It's a pen.
Yeah.
What does it say?
New Zealand Bridge 2026 Youth Camp. Join the Wolf Pack.
You've got your own pens printed.
I actually dropped off to the club today 200 pens that I ordered for them, and they're wooden ones with Hamilton Bridge Club.
How much do they cost?
I got 200 for $134.
That's less than $2 a pen. That's 65 cents. That's cheap, isn't it?
And this is what we've got on it. Hamilton Bridge Club. Bid, bond, belong. They look pretty cool. It's discussion time, and Barry comes up with the tip. So I have a question for you.
Okay.
This is about when you pull your cards from the and you evaluate your hand. My question is, in an expert's brain, and I'm saying that you're an expert, how long does it take you to go through your mental checklist?
Really? Probably not that long, I'd say. Yeah. Under a minute? Well under a minute.
Under 30 seconds?
Well, I mean, it depends what you mean. Once I've sorted it, I always sort my hand. Once I've sorted it, I'd say probably maybe just over 30 seconds. Count my points, work out what my shape is, figure out whether I've got an opening hand, whether it be a week two or whether it be opening at the one level or whether it's opening two trumps or two clubs or whatever. And I sort of do try to look at it and think, you know, what problems am I going to, if I open the bidding, what I think I'm going to open, what is the problem response for me where I'm going to have a problem? If I open a diamond and partner bids a spade, what am I going to do next? That sort of thing.
That sounds like a tip, Barry.
Well, there you go. It's probably always a good thing to do is before you ever make a bid, work out if you open the bidding and partner responds in something that you're short of, which is what they're liable to do, what are you going to rebid? So you should be looking at your opening bid and your rebid.
Actually, I got called to a hand when we were in supportive play on Thursday morning. Partner in his rebid, and we've talked about this thousands of times. And the person opens one club, their partner responded one spade, and then the next minute he's bidding two hearts. And and anyway, they end up in this horrific contract. And then he called me over and he said, I told a lie. I said, what do you mean you told a lie? He said, well, I bid my second bid, but I didn't have what that bid said. And he said, I didn't know what to do. And so we had a little look at it in the afternoon, and the same old story, Barry. He should have opened one no trump.
That is so often the case in these situations. That's why you should figure out what your rebid's going to be, because quite often you'll discover, well, I better open a no trump because I don't have a rebid.
Yeah.
And one no trump, particularly when you're playing ACOL, it doesn't mean that you've got a stopper in every suit. If you've got 12 to 14 points, the chances of you having a stopper in every suit is remote. Sometimes you'll have two suits without a stopper in. All you're trying to get across is your general shape and your point count to partner, that you'll have got a balanced hand and you've got 12 to 14 points, or 15 to 17 if that's what you play. So it's not saying anything about having all the suits stopped. Partner might be just about to transfer you to a major, whatever they're going to do. They're probably not going to leave you in no trumps unless they're pretty balanced too.
In the beginner lessons, when we're always saying about opening at the one level radar and the one no trump, we always say, remember, if you have 12 to 14, you have another check to do. You need to check shape before you think about it. And you could say that till you're blue in the face, Barry. It just doesn't get in.
I don't play ACOL much anymore, but the good thing about ACOL is all those rubbishy looking 12 to 14 points with a bit of this and a bit of that, they all go into the one note trump and you get rid of all those hands. And when you open a suit, you've usually got a two-suited hand or a single-suited hand, and you've usually got an easy rebid.
Now, I want you to elaborate more on what's my partner's problem response. What did you say?
When you open the bidding and you've got a singleton or even a void, pretty good chance, and nobody's written a book about this, I don't believe them, maybe they have, but if you open a suit and you've got a singleton in another suit, there's a pretty good chance if partner bids at all, that they're going to bid that suit.
I wonder what the odds are if anyone's actually done any odds on it.
I'm sure they have, but I mean, it seems logical to me that if you haven't got many of them and partner's going to bid, you're probably going to bid them. Or that's as long as one of the opponents don't get in ahead of them. That could happen. I don't know. I've just got in the habit of doing that. I think if partner bids one of those, what will I do then? I mean, occasionally, if I've got an awkward-shaped hand, I might decide to rebid a no-trump even with a singleton in partner's suit. Some people don't like doing that. Well, I don't like it, but sometimes it's the best of a bad lot is just rebidding a no-trump. If you've got a hand like, maybe say you've got one spade, three hearts, four diamonds and five clubs, so you open a club and partner bids a spade. I mean, I don't like rebidding five-card suits. I haven't got enough points to bid two diamonds because that would be a reverse, wouldn't it? 16 plus, and I've only got 12 or 13 points. I'm just going to, if I'm playing a strong no-trump system, I'm going to rebid a no-trump on this hand. And if I'm playing Ackle and I've got 15, 16, well, I suppose I could reverse in that situation if I had 16. But with 15, I'd probably just rebid a no trump to show 15 to 17. And I've got a singleton in partner's suit. Well, it's probably not the worst thing I'll do all
it's
year.
Judge Jury next. Judging.
Good morning.
Oh, she sounds grumpy already, Mariana.
Oh, so you don't want to ask the question?
I'm too scared to ask the question.
That's why we pay you the big bucks. Can you remember you saying that a lot of the times?
So we had a question from an avid listener to the Bridge Zone. They were defending a contract and played a card to a trick and realised they'd revoked. It was the Ace of Diamonds, by the way, I heard. So they left it on the table and picked another card to follow suit with. But the fun didn't stop there. Dummy then pointed out, touching their card, saying, there are two cards. So that when they went to play the second time, they put down two cards at once. One of those was the Ace of Spades. We weren't talking about tiddlers here. Apparently the director was called at this point, and they wanted to know, can Dummy touch the cards? What happens here?
Okay, I'm going to go through this slowly because I'm a wee bit confused. So they played a card to the trick. So the trick that they played the card to, they played the Ace of Diamonds and they revoked. Is that right?
Yes.
And then they realised they had revoked, or had they played to the next trick?
They hadn't played to the next trick.
All right. So they'd revoked and then they left it on the table and picked up another card to follow suit.
That's right.
For everyone listening, it is really important. There are big differences in the revoke about what happens next, depending on what happened at the time and whether it's at the end of the hand. So first of all, you always call the director. The director will come to the table and they will make the ruling at that point. At this stage, their side has not played to the next trick, so the revoke is not established. Then they can do what they did, so they can put it on the table and pick up the card that they would have followed suit. Now, if that makes a difference to what happened by dummy or declarer next, because they're still playing to the same trick, they can change the cards that they played. So we got that bit straight. So if I've revoked and I call the director, the diamonds will stay on the table. I will play the card that I should have played to the revoke. If you have played subsequently to the revoke, the declarer or the dummy in this case, then that card can be changed. Mm-hmm. And if that means my partner might have played a different card, then there's a problem there because my partner, if they change their card, they will have a penalty card on the table as well.
Oh, okay. All right.
But generally what happens is that the person that revoked, for whatever reason, is nearly always the last person to play to the trick. I have no idea why it's that way, but it does make life a lot easier. Okay. Now, dummy then points out there are two cards here. What does that mean?
They played the Ace of Diamonds, which is, they shouldn't have done. That was the revoke. Then they said, oh, no. Now they played the Ace of Spades, which was the right card they were meant to play. But when they played the Ace of Spades, there was another card underneath, which they put on the table at the same time.
I've got an unintended one there as well, have they? Okay. Except, and this is really, really good, the problem with that. Now, if the Ace of Spades is on top and no one has seen the card underneath, then I don't think there's a problem with that. Dummy could have pointed out, could call the director once defender had pointed out that they had revoked, right? But Dummy cannot initiate a call to the director, and Dummy cannot point out that there's been an infraction of any sort during the play of the card.
Ah, that was one of the questions that we had.
This is like an exam question where someone's having a nightmare and trying to make it up as they go along. So I'm not convinced that it actually happened.
It did really happen.
So we've got the revoke trip and the Ace of Spades has presumably won the trip now. The person that played the Ace of Spades will be on lead.
Yep.
If the card they pulled out at the same time is visible, then in that case, there'll be two penalty cards on the table. They will be on lead. If they're different suits, declarer can say which one they want played. If they're the same suit, when they play the one of them, the other one gets restored to their hand. But if they're different suits, that doesn't happen. So declarer can say which one they want them to play. So if they've been really unlucky and they've got the Ace of Diamonds and the Two of Diamonds on the table, guess what declarer's going to ask for?
What the ace?
No mention that the director was called for the revoke and they want to know, can dummy touch their cards? No player can touch another player's cards. Declara can, because we used to always be able to, but it is strongly recommended Declara calls the cards from dummy. Apart from that, no one touches anyone else's cards. Declara does not rearrange dummy's hand. Dummy doesn't touch anything. They sit on their hands and they do what they're told. And they do it happily, and they don't do it by having their hands wavering over cards. They don't do it by focusing on something specific, and they don't do it by making comments during the play that is absolutely not allowed.
They have to do it happily. They can't even do it just a little bit grumpily.
Well, I suppose they can, but we all need to be happy at the bridge table.
Okay. What a mess.
And in all fairness, if they'd called the director at the time they had revoked, if the person who had revoked had called the director when they went to correct it, the second part of this probably would never have happened.
That's right. Absolutely. That's
true. That is true.
All right. Just to prove my point about calling the director.
Yeah, well, when Mariana and I read this email, we thought, oh, my God, the judge is going to have a fit when she sees this.
How can I stop making reduce my mistakes at the table? By thinking before you do anything. It is really easy to revoke. Sometimes we're a trick ahead of ourselves, which is why it's really hard to choose unintended during card play. Or we have just done something silly, a cow flew by, whatever, things happen like that. The best way we can improve our play is to focus and concentrate.
There we go.
All right.
But don't watch the cows flying by, Barry.
To all your beginners, anything that anyone has ever done as a beginner, someone far more experienced has done a lot worse somewhere along the line. So these things happen, they're part of the game. That's why we call the director.
Perfect. And I'm sure if we asked the bailiff, he could probably, Mariana, tell us a couple of stories about his partner.
There's lots of people that can tell stories about lots of people. Like, I don't know, safety plays brings to mind.
Oh, here we go.
I think that story's turned into legend.
If we really want to go down that road.
Yeah, two can play that game, Mary. Well, thank you so much for that. And people, the core instruction this week is call the director.
Well, there's a new one for us.
Believe me, so many things that go wrong would not go wrong if we called the director at the time.
Thank you, Julie.
Good luck. Have fun. Enjoy yourselves.
That's all we've got time for this week, folks. If you're out and about playing bridge, have an awesome time, and we'll see you at the tables.
Bye for now.
New Zealand Bridge, sponsoring bridge from beginner to international, nationwide. This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.